gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John the Lobster. The Marvel Cinematic Universe returns to Asgard for the third time with What We Do in the Shadows director Taika Waititi folding the fan-favorite Planet Hulk storyline into Thor's Phase 3 outing. This time around, Thor must escape the alien planet Sakaar in time to save Asgard from Hela and the impending Ragnarok. But is the third time the charm for Marvel's most dour franchise?
Fuck yes. I mean, no offense, but the last one, I fell asleep on it. So
The Dark World.
Oh, it was very dark.
The best interpretation of The Dark World was done by Matt Damon, Sam Neill, and Luke Hemsworth there in theatrical format. No? You didn't catch that?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. In the beginning, right? When
in Thor the beginning comes of back. Thor Ragnarok, he goes back to Asgard. They are putting on a play, a version of Thor the Dark World with Matt Damon as Loki, Luke Hemsworth, brother of Chris, as Thor, and Sam Neill as Odin.
That was so Matt good. Damon?
Yeah. That was Matt Damon.
How oh my not, God.
That's crazy yeah. that you didn't notice that.
I don't. At that point, I was laughing about that play so much, and I had so much fun knowing that Odin was Loki, basically. That I was just like reveling in that. So I didn't even catch it. Now I need to watch it again.
Well, there you go. You've heard it here first. Yeah, yeah. So the Dark World. I think the best part of the Dark World is the soundtrack. It's got an epic score on there by Brian Tyler, but the rest of it is pretty dull. I mean, does anybody remember anything from that movie?
Music-wise?
I mean, I thought the soundtrack was good, but
I don't really remember much of any disagree. Of the Thor movies except this one.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I would say, go back, listen to the OST. I believe it's by Brian Tyler, and just enjoy that, and then the rest of it you can forget.
Okay, fair enough.
But fair enough. The soundtrack is done by none other than Devo's Mark Mothersbaugh, and the soundtrack rocks.
Makes sense.
And in particular, I want to pick out the use of a tune, Immigrant Song, which made its debut in the trailer. Turns out that this was part of Taika Waititi's original sizzle reel that he put together when he pitched the tone for the movie that he wanted to do.
That's cool.
Which he later admitted he went on BitTorrent and got a bunch of clips of other movies like Big Trouble in Little China, which I think you can see the influence, and put that together to the two Immigrant Song, and Marvel loved it so much they featured it in the trailer and twice in the movie.
That's funny, because let's face it, as much as Civil War was Captain America 3, it was Avenger 2.5.
Sure.
As much as Thor Ragnarok is Thor 3, it's kind of Guardians of the Galaxy 2.5.
It's kind of Guardians 2.5. It's the Hulk and Thor buddy comedy team up, aka what were they doing when Civil War was happening? Because they're the rest of the I mean, really the heavy hitters in the Avengers.
Yep.
And it's, I mean, you couldn't do a Civil War with, I don't think, Thor and Hulk there, because just everyone would die. So you have to spin them off to their own thing. So you can do Civil War with the mortal members of the Avengers. And then, you know, you have that. But this film, I mean, for one, Taika Waititi is phenomenal. In terms of
funny as shit,
the comic timing that he brings. If you have not seen What We Do in the Shadows, I cannot recommend it enough. I haven't seen Hunt for the Wilder People yet, but I hear good things. So again, like what he brings to this, and I think Thor has always kind of had that. Joss Whedon was able to tease it out a little bit in the Avengers films, but there's something about what Thor is able to do as a comic lead that is just so masterful here.
I'm going to say something that's probably going to be controversial, but I think the best thing that happened in Chris Hemsworth's career is Ghostbuster. Because post-Ghostbuster, we understood that this guy is funny, and we can actually bank on that.
Yeah.
Well, Since then, he's doing funny stuff.
Yeah, Ghostbusters, he showed up in the Vacation movie.
Just a little timing beats and joke beats in this where he's talking about the, I didn't get the timing right. And he's spinning around. Hold on, I'll be back in a minute. Just the way he plays this.
Honestly, I'm not even moving. It's just doing it on his own.
All that shit, it works well with him now. And like Wing said, you would have never picked that up.
I mean, you never would have cast him in your fake Crocodile Dundee sequel.
Really?
No.
Dundee?
Right.
I don't think that ever would have happened.
God, it's one of the best campaign ever. No.
Right away, though, I like this movie for putting you into the action. You're like, wait, what's? And it's totally the.
You're probably wondering how I got here.
Yeah, and he's talking to the guy that's dead. What is it? It's the Chekhov's villain, if you will.
When you know the story and as a Surtur, I was like
Chekhov's tiara.
Yeah, okay. It's Chekhov's Surtur. Yeah. Basically, and he's like, oh, all I have to do is take your mask and put it in the same room as that fire that you're looking for. I was like, okay, no, I know the end now.
I thought that was an eyebrow. If you look at Surtur in the comics, it does look like a big eyebrow.
Great.
Oh, it's my crown.
I like the visual of Thor propping open that dragon's mouth and then dropping his hammer.
Just drops it. Yeah. Hold this. Hold still.
Just boom, goes right to the ground. Half of the dragon's head getting teleported through the Bifrost.
Yes.
So lame, but cool. You know, it slides up to the thing.
There are so many great shots and sight gags in this that it's phenomenal. This movie, honestly, is one of the best looking of the Marvel franchise so far. And that is saying a lot. That is saying a lot.
I think this is where they really stepped out and said, all right, we can make everything really colorful and vibrant. Yeah. And then they went, same thing with now Black Panther.
Right. And well, made that phenomenal. And again, I think Guardians of the Galaxy has influenced the visual style. I think Ant-Man has also influenced, because Ant-Man, I think, opened the door to sight gags and doing more. If you look at the latest Ant-Man trailer, it's all sight gags. I think what you can do with this universe, and in a lot of ways, I think where Winter Soldier kind of upended the previous Marvel phase of films in terms of the storytelling, because Winter Soldier took this idea of S.H.I.E.L.D. that was basically the foundation of the MCU. S.H.I.E.L.D. brought together the Avengers, right? And tore that down.
Ripped it apart from the inside.
Ripped it apart. Yeah, everybody's a double agent, whatever. And then you were left, oh, shit, what is, you know, that means a lot. And then they explored that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., whatever. But I think what Thor Ragnarok does is, one, it says, okay, we told you about nine realms. There's countless other realms. Obviously, we've explored some of them in Guardians, but there's more stuff out there than you know. And also, your other big institutions like Asgard, right? The most powerful beings in the galaxy just had their home destroyed. So you're kind of left with this. If Earth isn't the seat of power and they're not organized and together, and right, Civil War also kind of broke apart the Avengers. So the Avengers aren't really a thing anymore. And Asgard is no longer kind of the shining beacon of peace and stability, right? Who does that leave the door open for?
Thanos.
Oh, no. Big guy.
I think they're going to reuse Hela as Death.
Yes. Basically. That was something that occurred to me at the end.
What do you mean as death?
Thanos'
girlfriend
is death.
No way.
Thanos is obsessed. Well, Thanos is infatuated with death.
Let's be honest. How fucking hot. She looks gorgeous with the hair and the dark eye makeup and that leather. Like for any age, she looks stunning in that getup.
and they made that headpiece work.
Oh.
The fact that freaking headpiece that, like, after screen.
What did we comment on? What did we comment on, like, a dozen movies ago that the headpiece didn't work? Was it
Loki.
Wonder Woman?
Steppenwolf.
Oh,
Steppenwolf from fucking Justice League.
Okay.
I mean,
Justice League came out, okay, recently in, like, digital. And I
Justice League came out the same month as this. And honestly, the comparison between the two was appalling. Like, you look at Thor, which is, I mean, to be fair, we didn't have high expectations of the Thor franchise because I like one. I thought two was okay, but most people like Thor when he's with other characters. Which this movie smartly does, because Planet Hulk is one of my favorite storylines from the comics, because basically you're doing Spartacus with the Hulk. It's cool.
Yep.
So when this, I had really, really high expectations. And all along, I was saying, I'm really excited for Thor Ragnarok, guys. I think Thor Ragnarok is going to be really good.
Yeah, you were calling it early.
Just you guys watch. You guys watch. Thor Ragnarok is going to be good. It's one of the most anticipated movies of this year. I was looking forward to Thor Ragnarok more than Guardians Volume 2, more than Spider-Man Homecoming. This was the movie that I was most excited for, probably, of the year.
But can we agree it's the best Marvel movie of 2017?
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's fair to say.
Spider-Man
and Guardians Volume 2.
Okay, I did like parts of 2 a lot, and Spider-Man I had no expectations for, so I really like that. But
yeah,
it would be a,
this is
it'd
good.
Be a very close first.
Yeah.
I have to say Spider-Man, for me, I found okay, but then you have Michael Keaton that just act his ass off in there, and
it.
I was like, okay, that's giving
it. Man,
I gotta,
coming in.
We're talking about acting here, and this kept popping
Kate
up
Blanchett.
In my head. Not only her, but how Anthony Hopkins is playing sneaky and smarmy as Loki, as Odin.
Yes.
Like, right when
He's a dude playing another dude.
Yeah,
and
well,
he's
what's
so
his
good
face?
At
he
it.
Comes up right away, and he's like, father, and he's like, oh, shit. Like, it's perfect, and you can just see him trying to weasel his way. You know, nothing will stop this, not your face.
Yep. Are you the god of hammers? Are you Thor, the god of hammers?
That's so
good.
Anthony Hopkins is fantastic, and I understand. Like, I understand that they have to clear the board before Thanos comes in, because anyone who I think could stand as a threat to Thanos, they've kind of had to eliminate. And they've done that. They've gotten rid of Odin. Theoretically, I guess they've gotten rid of Hela, who was hella powerful. They're not left with a lot.
Yeah, but Asgard's gone now, so the seat of all her power, or the majority of it, is gone as
but
well.
But is Asgard a place or a people? They never really answer that.
Yeah, but now? They have a Battlestar Galactica ship of Asgardian, and that's pretty much it.
They're just got to dump them somewhere, though.
They got to land on Norway. That happens in the comics as it comes to Earth.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, actually, it's like it hover over Earth for a couple of years.
I'm so sorry Jane dumped you. She didn't dump me. I dumped her. It was a mutual dumping. Like, just the little
it's
shit
surreal.
Like that.
Yeah.
So
it sounds like you had a really close, intimate relationship with your hammer, and it sounds like losing it was comparable to the loss of a loved one. That's a pretty good way to put it.
So
actually,
Earth has
that's
wizards
what
love?
I love. Yeah, that's what I love the most, is that the relationship with the hammer is basically the relationship with Jane.
Yeah.
But he lost, instead of going with the character, they go with the hammer. So yeah, I lost my hammer. Well, that was
getting
yesterday.
That.
So that's pretty recent.
It's pretty
getting
fresh.
Over that right now. Yeah. It's wow, just wow. Okay, you name about Erd as sorcerer right now. I think that's the only part of the movie that didn't work for me. I thought that was force.
It was a little. Was a little forced, but it got him to find Odin.
Yeah. Well, they set it up. This is one of the things that I love about the Marvel Universe. Now, it used to be the shawarma was a tease. The shawarma was something just to set up the next movie and get you thinking about the next movie. And now the shawarma is either a throwaway joke, which this one has, or it's a scene literally from the next movie. They did it in Ant-Man to set up Civil War, and they did it in Doctor Strange here in Thor Ragnarok, which they're showing you a scene from the middle of the movie as the stinger in the previous film.
I'm going to say like
first
it,
act, but yeah.
I kind of like it too, because what they do is they show you that Strange is actually that powerful. He basically makes Loki do nothing for 45 minutes. He just takes him out of the equation
for 30 minutes. Right.
Okay, which I have a huge problem with, because I had the mistake to go watch How It Should Have Ended, and they just put Ella in that thing forever, and I was like, shit! That's true. They could have done that. Just make her fall forever. Damn it!
You think Doctor Strange would have gone to Asgard and helped him out?
Just put her in a hole and like, yeah, we're done. Thank you. It takes 5 minutes. Yeah. Bye. He's so powerful.
Hela doesn't need the Bifrost to leave Asgard if she has the Tesseract.
Yeah.
So there's other plot holes. But this movie doesn't care about plot holes. It wants to set up Gladiator fighting with Thor.
Exactly. Hold on. Shit.
I got to get to something here, though, that did come up in my brain. It's been bothering me for a while. But
all right,
you,
beef.
Are you, Ruff, you always have the one bad person or the two bad people or the bad robot in Ultron or this or that, and then you have the
bad sister,
the always huge horde of aliens or the robot horde, or now it's the reanimated dead warrior horde. Yeah.
And don't forget this giant zombie wolf.
It's basically which was cool, but it's basically always this pile of unsurmountable odds and non-conscious, semi-conscious not people that they can slaughter and feel good
dark
about
elves.
It. Right.
We call them Stormtrooper usually.
Yeah.
I mean,
I always call them putties.
Sure.
Okay.
Power Rangers. Yeah, they're the putties. They're the faceless, idiotic, disposable army that you send.
That you can kill.
Yeah.
You know?
It's okay. Or if you just hit them, they like fall apart. And in this case, if you hit them, they fall apart.
Vampire and Blade.
Yeah. I know. I've really started to notice it more now.
Yeah.
It's because it's everywhere these days.
The Chitauri, right, the Ultron robots, the Dark Elves. Let's see if
Dritz Duerden was there, he would have killed them all.
He totally would.
Dritz, there's another book. There's another trilogy coming out of him.
Oh.
Dritz? Oh, yeah. Oh, cool.
Good stuff. Carl Urban as Scourge, just what we're talking about Asgard.
He's kind of shitty, too.
I love Carl Urban. He got the short end of the stick in this movie. He's the stupid guy that's afraid to die. He's the worst Asgardian ever. Come on.
I guess when you put it that way, it kind of makes it
better. My stuff.
This is my stuff.
Des and Troy.
I call him Des and Troy, and then he's got a shake weight.
In Texas, that's so bad, the shake weight joke. Shit.
It's funny because, you know, they leave the place, and that giant sword, and they're like, yeah, that's not important. It's going to be important in an hour.
I wish they wouldn't have shown her catching the hammer in the trailer. Seeing that again, going, damn, I wish they wouldn't have done that.
You think they should have shown Hulk in the trailer?
No.
Well, you know what? The movie. Honestly, if they would have just shown them on like a Quinjet later or something, or showed you that Banner was in it, or just something, teased his presence but not shown you the Gladiator or as much of it, it would have given a lot more of the reveal. But I would have possibly not seen it without knowing the Hulk was in it.
Yeah.
If we were not doing this cast at this point, I'm not sure I would watch trailer for Marvel movies anymore.
Okay,
because at this point, I know just by the title if I'm going to see them in theater or not, and I know I'm going to watch them at home when they come out. So a little bit like I was kind of let down that in the first Iron Man, we're going back in time.
Uh-huh.
When you watch the trailer, they told you a lot of the story.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm just like, impress me. You have a good track record.
Even with the
now.
First Iron Man, even though they told you a lot of that story, it was all so new that it was fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I could not hear that Back in Black scene anymore by the time I was in the movie. You know, that was the problem.
True.
This is a good scene. So, but yeah, the Thor thing that we saw over and over again. Yes, we used to work together. We're a friend from work. I would have preferred not knowing and just thinking like, oh, it's going to be Beth or Ray Bill. It's going to be this. It's going to be that.
I think on the one hand.
Yeah, but they made $200 million with that.
Planet Hulk is so well known among the fandom that it really seemed obvious even before the trailer came out that that's what they were setting up. So I was fine with that. I just like the idea of the Thor Hulk buddy comedy movie sold me on the movie.
Yeah,
like that sold me on the film. I don't really know, like, if they're like, oh, we're gonna do Planet Hulk and Thor is just kind of gonna be there, like, whatever.
They had to save that franchise, and that was true Hulk that did it.
And again, cracking Mew Mew. Again, that was in the trailer. We knew that was going to happen, but I think that's part of the stakes of the movie because, again, it's so iconic. It's so much a part of Thor's character, and also they cut his hair, and they cut his hair because it was on magazine covers before the movie came out. So then you were like, okay, now what? At least they gave him the helmet. I thought that was cool.
Two things that the trailer did very, very, very well, and I wish they would do that more often. When she breaks Mew Mew, it was in a dark alley in the trailer. So I was not expecting it at that point. I was expecting it in a different scene.
There are shots in the trailers that you look at them in the final cut and it's the part where he's missing an eye.
Exactly. Or, and these things should happen more often in the trailer. Okay, yeah, give me the LEM moment, but
before the effects were done. Detail. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and hide it a bit or surprise me because, like you said, one looked like it was in an alley.
You've already seen that with Infinity War because in one of the shots, Captain America has the gauntlets. And then in the second trailer, he's got the full shield on each arm. So they're already doing that. And I'm already starting to think there's stuff that we've seen in the Infinity War trailer that is not the complete picture.
I hope so.
Did we know that Miss Hot Pants was a Valkyrie or an Asgardian?
Her character never gets a name, but in the promotional material, they just call her Valkyrie.
That's her name.
Kind of obvious. Well, it's her name, but in the comics, her name is Valkyrie.
Yeah.
She's Scrapper 142, but they never, I don't think, really give her a name.
Okay. But the thing in there is that she's a Valkyrie, but she's the last one. So at that point, she's the Valkyrie. Yeah. And the other thing is that they got Idris Elba and they were like, okay, we signed in for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
Now we're going to freaking use him.
Yeah.
Even though they barely did.
Make him run around, go to Helm's Deep and back.
Maybe they barely did, but it felt more important than the last two movies together. True.
Remember the first movie where he's like frozen for most of the movie?
Oh, dear God. Yes.
I guess I should have known she was an Asgardian on first watch, the way she chucked a dude just like Thor did.
Yeah. That's
good. One of my favorite jokes in the movie, she gets out of her ship all
drunk.
Drunk and shit and like super assertive. You're gonna give in to me.
Falls off the ramp. Yeah. And then she tries to get up and her arm buries into the rotting animal.
Yeah.
All these little details. I think that's what makes Taika Waititi so great.
Jeff Goldblum as the Grand Master. We kind of knew this was his character, but on the other hand, this is Jeff Goldblum. And this is Jeff Goldblum coming into...
Why would you give me the melty rod? He just interrupted me.
Yeah. We don't melt people for that. That's not a capital offense. Oh, what does it smell like? Burnt toast.
He's so... Jeff Goldblum in this movie. Yeah. He doesn't even try.
Too bad he didn't have a scene with Sam Neill, but come on, it was great just to have him there.
Yeah, agreed. The buddy scene with Thor and Hulk in their chamber.
Oh, it's so good. So I smashed you, baby arms. Like, he's such a big child.
Hulk like raging fire, Thor like smoldering fire.
Yeah, when he wakes up, I like that they address when he wakes up. Wait, I lost 2 years.
I lost 2 years.
Don't kick stuff.
It's burned into my brain.
Stupid Avenger. Tiny Avenger.
Well, you saw Thork's ass, or you saw Thork, Hulk. You saw Hulk's ass in this. So you saw Hulk crack, as it were.
So I'm assuming he has a giant dong in the front.
Yeah, the hammer is his penis.
Do you think Sakaar is going to be there at some point? Did they have that in their pocket, and we're just going to have the son of Thor Hulk at some point?
Could be. Beta Ray Bill is also on the side of the building as one of the champions, so that's pretty cool.
The ball off the window to the face.
That is great.
Oh my God!
That's what heroes do.
Hey, damn you, Stark! Point Break. That is so fucking great, because he goes through all the strongest Avenger, the best looking Avenger, whatever, and then he's like, he knows it. Damn you, Stark. Point Break. Welcome, Point Break.
Korg and Meek. So these are the gladiator buddies that Thor gets paired up with. And if you've read Planet Hulk or you've seen the animated movie, which is actually pretty good, of Planet Hulk, Korg and Meek are right there, and they're part of the revolt. Here we learn that the revolution has failed. Why? Not enough pamphlets. It's so good. And that's the director giving the voice and mocap to Korg, and just so, so funny, that deadpan humor. Piss off, ghost.
Don't touch my hair. Yeah. Stanley cameo. As the barber.
As a creepy old man, as Thor puts it. Creepy old man, cut my hair off.
Yeah, that was funny. That fight is good, though. It's long, but it's good.
Oh, the gladiator fight is great. We see the first hint that Thor still has his lightning powers. And
Loki that's like, you know what that feel now?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just a fan of the sport.
You're the Lord of Thunder or the Lord of Lightning or whatever he says. And he's like, it looks like little sparkles coming out of your fingertips.
God of Thunder. You're the God of what again?
And then when they do hook up with Loki and he gets kind of roped in, and then they're the Revengers trying to escape from the planet.
Loki still screws him again and he knows it. So yeah, Thor knows zaps him. Happen.
Yeah, the Thor parade is probably one of my favorite bits. We're not gonna Hulk parade. Yeah. We're not gonna think about the Hulk. Just forget about the Hulk. And then he gets blasted with green power.
When they're walking through the street and Thor keeps going, the sun's going down. It's all whatever. It's almost dark or whatever.
Sun's getting real low, buddy.
Yeah. Why stop saying that?
All right. So for what it's worth, We can all admit that Age of Ultron is not the best film, Avengers Age of Ultron.
No.
But it's kind of been quasi-redeemed by the subsequent iterations of Marvel movies. I think Civil War, Thor Ragnarok have done quite a bit to redeem the past mistakes of Age of Ultron.
Problem is that Age of Ultron now just looks like a bad episode of a TV show that you need to have seen the whole series for it to make sense.
They don't hit the reset button. They make consequences come out of Age of Ultron. Obviously, Civil War sets up the Sokovia Accords and everything that goes with that and is kind of the backdrop for Civil War. Hulk's disappearance at the end of Age of Ultron sets up this. And they're kind of able to go back and call out certain things that have happened in Ultron, maybe being a little dumb, like a little, passcode is going to make him transform back into Bruce Banner, a little hypnosis.
I do. I kind of like that, though, the thing that as soon as he saw Black Widow.
Yeah, he did. He reverted.
And then he started yelling at himself. Like, Hulk was.
Not to do it. Yeah.
Right. He's like, don't do it. He's punching himself and shit in the face.
No banner.
Yes. No banner. And he's fighting it.
Yeah. And also, let's not forget that a certain one-armed arms dealer from Age of Ultron, I think he's in a movie that came out recently. I don't want to spoil that. But
I gotta watch that again then.
Yeah. So they escape from Sakaar through the Devil's Anus.
In an orgy barge.
Yeah, this is probably the most dirty Marvel movie. I know the Guardians of the Galaxy have been getting there. I think this one definitely leans into setting that up.
They said anus like six times. Yeah. They talked about pulling you off. Yes. There were a handful of other jokes that went, shit, right away at the beginning.
Aforementioned ass crack that we see. There's some good stuff. But the orgy ship, don't touch anything.
Right.
That's all good.
So question, which ship is the worst with a black light? The Milano or the orgy ship?
Oh, the Milano. Maybe the orgy ship, yeah.
Gotta give it to orgy ship, because I'm imagining that if you're hanging with people on Sakaar, it's not just the bodily fluids that come out from the private area. They're coming out from all kinds of places. People getting hit with the melty stick. Ugh.
That's more of a charred residue, though, but I feel you.
Gross. They make it back to Asgard, and what's their plan?
Right before getting back to Asgard, I like the, they're flying in the orgy ship, and Valkyrie jumps out and starts messing up all those ships, and then Hulk's like, I should probably go help, and the scene that pretty cool, and good music again, that's super kind of, I think that's the one you're talking about from the trailer,
electronic.
Right?
Electronic.
Yep.
Well, there's some electronica, whatever
one of the music podcasts
whatever Mother's Ba is making. So Immigrant Song Led Zeppelin shows up at the beginning when he's fighting Surtur and his minions, and then when they're on the bridge, when they're on the rainbow bridge there, which that is probably one of my favorite battle scenes in Marvel film. Probably with the exception of the fight against the Chitauri in New York. That is, I think,
seriously,
awesome.
The airport doesn't do it for you?
Yeah, I mean, the airport is good, but like, I'm thinking of like battle against an invading army. So it's like overwhelming like the force.
Okay,
yeah. This reminds me of what I think they were going for with the second Thor movie, the first sequel, which was kind of to make a Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones type feel for it.
Thank God they move away from that.
Yeah, but this actually kind of pulls it off, where you have one, they're hiding in Helm's Deep, and then they're trying to escape on the bridge and get to the ship, and then they get cut off, and then you have to have all of that kind of fight going on, and there's a giant wolf, and what are you going to do?
See, the wolf thing was cool, because then you get Hulk jumping out. You want to know what I do? This is what I do.
And he
bounces off the fucking bridge.
But then the first Hulk movie is actually still canon, this is a very good throwback from like their second movie, which I loved.
But see, the bridge scene, I don't know, I guess it doesn't do it for me as much as you. The wolf and Hulk is pretty cool, but everything else just seems like the fucking undying horde again.
Again, yeah. I think the airport scene is fine because it's a fight, right? I'm not meaning like it's a fight against two evenly matched sides. Like, this is a battle, and it's very clearly they're overmatched, but I think it's a lot of fun, and I think the way that it sets up, like, he grabs the wolf by the tail, I think that is fun. It sets up Loki being a hero, and then it sets up Scourge being a hero. Like, it's just full of these great kind of moments.
See, that kind of pissed me off. Scourge was a douche the whole movie, and then right at the very end, he decides to try to redeem himself.
He's making faces.
He's Darth Vader. Come on.
When Hela is killing people, he's making faces.
I don't know.
And
I mean,
Carl Urban is so good that he could fully commit to being the bad guy, but I like that they make him kind of pull the punch a little bit,
right?
Because he's also McCoy, and we like him.
He's Loki, one of the best McCoy.
Loki right at the end. Loki, your savior is
your
here.
Savior is here. And he's wearing the helmet with the bendy horns.
Oh, God. That helmet doesn't work. Hela's helmet worked.
I love that helmet. And he takes it off and starts hitting people with it. That I enjoy as well.
Oh, that was cool when he used it like a weapon. He was hooking people's legs with it. But what about Banner going, I thought it would be a lot nicer. To Asgard.
Nicer. I mean, it's okay. But
right. Like, I'm like, oh, damn. Yeah.
Seems like a lot of it's on fire.
Hey, one of the things that they retcon is the Infinite Gauntlet in there, because they point out that most of the stuff is fake. So
I love. So one of the things that's gone on.
Yeah, let's
is
talk about
fans,
what was all in there too.
So fans watch this, and going back to the first Thor movie, they're like, "Oh, the Infinity Gauntlet is in Odin's treasure palace. It's in there in his throne room, and therefore, then this is going to happen. And Thanos is going to do this, and then they're just like fake," which I love.
I agree. That is
so great. It's so great. Now,
because she goes fake, and then the first one was weak.
The chest of Infinite Winters or something is one of them, and then the Tesseract, and she's like, actually, that's not bad.
Weren't there two though? Wasn't that first cube something? Another?
It's the cask of Unending Winter. Okay. I don't even know. Whatever. But then
Loki left with the Tesseract.
Yeah, Loki definitely left with the Tesseract, and we know because he has it in the trailer for Infinity War. He's gonna offer it to Thanos, I think, to save himself or whatever's left of the Asgardians.
No,
I'm going with it's probably just to save himself.
You know what?
Gave me this the first time, so here you go. Here's it again.
Yeah, and I think there's a reading of the first Avengers movie where you see that Loki is as afraid of Hulk as Loki is in this movie. He's even more afraid of Thanos. And I think that Loki desperately does not want to fall back into Thanos' clutches. And I think even though that this movie leaves him off on the side of the angels, he will throw that all away just to get away from Thanos.
Yeah, he's Loki. I mean, I have no doubt. I don't trust him as far as Hulk can throw him. I mean, really. I trust you just long enough for you to betray me.
Yeah, and then we go back, and then... Yeah.
Well, at least Thor learned at this point, because in Dark World, I was like, you motherfucking douche. He does that every time. You should know you've been raised with him for hundreds of years.
When he regales the tale...
I'm not going to fall for this.
I like when he regales the tale of being stabbed at 8 by his brother or whatever.
He knows I love snakes, and he's like, "Well, it's really me." All right, so
Hulk, for once in your life, don't smash. Yeah. Big monster.
To defeat Hela, they have to actually cause Ragnarok, which I believe is announced by a horn blowing, but they didn't actually do a horn in this one. So Ragnarok happens. Surtur comes back from the Eternal Flame and starts to stab basically the entire continent.
Stab, stab, stab away.
Yeah.
And that's where you get the great line from Korg.
Yeah. As long as the foundations are strong,
we can rebuild. It can be a refuge for humanity or for all
races and peoples. And then
all of a sudden it just explodes.
No, I was wrong.
I was wrong. So good. And then they ask what's his face? The dude with knives, the little wormy guy.
Meek's dead.
No, Meek's dead. I stepped on him. I've just been carrying him around for sympathy all day. And then Meek wakes up.
So he's alive. What was your question? Earth it is.
So fucked up.
And then we get the post-credits or mid-credits scene where the giant ship arrives and it's confirmed that that is Thanos' ship. And then we get the end of credits. The Grandmaster has survived the revolution. Yay, us! It's a tie!
I want to move you with the Grandmaster and the Collector now. Is that bad?
Yeah, that's bad.
That would be great!
Maybe they'll come back for the Adam Warlock movie. That would be okay.
I have a question. Where have we seen Thor with the... It was Thor with the Guardians, right?
Yeah, at the end of the Infinity War trailer. Who the hell are you guys? Yes. And in the, I believe it's the unreleased Comic-Con trailer, he crashes into the windshield of the Milano, and they go, ew, what's that? Get it off.
So he gets chucked out of something.
Yeah, I think he gets thrown into space and is adrift, and the Guardians of the Galaxy literally run into him.
Which is funny as hell. It's now I want that sequel. I want Thor to be with the Guardian of the Galaxy.
And I think that's what they're setting up. So there's going to be two parallel stories, which is Thanos gets the Tesseract. That's the first, presumably, of the Infinity Stones that he needs. And then he goes to Earth, where I believe he knows he can find the rest if he doesn't already have them. And then there's that. And then there's Thor and the Guardians kind of chasing him down and then showing up back at Earth in the third act to presumably either...
Die with everyone else.
Yeah, die with everyone else, turn the tide, set up the sequel, whatever it is. But who knows? That's all idle speculation at this point.
Question.
Sure.
You know the concept of having two eyes to be able to align shit up?
Yes.
Like if you play...
To have actual depth perception. That's what.
Yeah, doesn't seem to be a problem with Tori. Lose the eye. It's the same thing as when I have a paper cut for him. It seems, and then he keeps fighting like nothing. It is. There's no problem.
You had two eyes, but you only see half the picture.
Yeah, but see a quarter of the picture now.
So in Norse mythology, Odin willingly gave one of his eyes in order to receive perfect knowledge. So, presumably, Thor now has a more complete mastery of his powers than he did before. We know from, and this is terrible, toy spoilers, that Thor gets a new hammer.
We call that toilers.
Toilers, yeah. He doesn't get Mew Mew back. He gets Doombreaker, I believe.
Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker is the new hammer.
The umbrella, or hammer disguises the umbrella.
Have you ever read Thor?
Straight out of the comic books.
Yeah, have you ever read Thor? Because you have John Blake, or Donald Blake, and he walks with a cane. Yeah. And the cane, when he do it on the floor, like just knock it on the floor, becomes the hammer. So when he does that with the freaking umbrella on in Norway... Yeah. I think that was my sweaty moment.
Yeah,
I
was pretty cool. He did the thing with the thing. When Mew Mew is there, there's a lot of it crashing through stuff and Thor apologizing. So,
well, I'm sorry, but Doctor Strange must be pissed. Half his house is destroyed now.
Well, it's his fault. He kept teleporting Thor. It was disorienting.
Oh, that was so awesome.
Stop doing that. Can't we just walk?
He's just getting them all fucked up, even if it's just a couple feet.
And I love when Loki pulls out his daggers and Doctor Strange is just like, bye-bye.
Right. Get out.
Get out.
Doctor Strange is more powerful than God.
Well, I think there's some time that has elapsed. And Marvel hasn't admitted this, but I think some time elapses between between the two films. Now, also on Sakaar... Time is weird. We don't actually know
what that means.
Thor says it's been 2 years. We don't know that Hulk has actually been there for 2 years. And obviously, if Valkyrie has been on Sakaar for something like 5 millennia, we don't even know how long that's been.
But
she's unaging anyways.
Yes and no. All right, I'm not going to go into it. The Asgardians do age. They don't age at the same rate, and they have means of prolonging their life. But
Huygen Fliegen.
Yeah, Eugen Boygen. So if we are blessed with a fourth Thor standalone movie, not knowing anything that's going to happen in the future of the MCU, what do you want to know?
I want Natalie Portman to be Thor. That's where we're right now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Jane Foster becomes Thor when Thor dies.
In the comics, and this is transpiring now, so if you're reading current issues of Marvel Comics, Thor actually becomes unworthy. He loses the right to wield Mjolnir. Mew Mew. And Mjolnir passes to his longtime on and off again girlfriend, Jane Foster, who in the current iteration of Marvel Comics is dying from cancer. And so as Thor, she's able to prolong her life and gain the strength of Mew Mew as long as she stays as Thor. But if she goes back to being just Jane Foster, she's dying. So that seems to be, they've kind of hinted that Natalie Portman is interested in staying in the films longer, but I think she wants more to do than just being the love interest.
Natalie Portman at this point is like, oh, I burned my Star Wars bridge, I'm burning my Marvel bridge, I need a check.
Yeah, she does.
Because she's not working much.
Yeah, well, she's got Annihilation coming out, hopefully that'll... Good. Yeah, looks good. Get her back on the map. And I definitely want that. I think that would be a fun storyline they could do.
Because right now, all of their contract are basically up. The only person that they still have under contract, because his new contract is kind of nuts, is Robert Downey Jr.
And the Guardians, I think, don't they?
No, yeah, they have one last movie.
Doctor Strange, Ant-Man, they've got Black Panther.
All the new guys.
Yeah, they've got new blood coming in, but I think they want to keep established characters going as well. And the way that you do that is you pass the mantle on to Bucky Barnes, Falcon, to take over as Captain America. You pass Thor on to somebody new, and you pass Iron Man on to, Riri Williams or someone. Bring in Ironheart to make it cool. So,
yeah, I haven't seen Black Panther and Beef Shut Up. But
yeah,
I've
everyone
heard
shut
like,
up. No one.
I've heard there might be
shut
a character
up.
In there
but
that could
up,
be.
But shut up.
I haven't seen the fucking movie.
Wait, let's that could be it. What?
Nope, and you shut up now.
I won't say anything. I just want to hear his theory again.
No, you
there
shut up.
There could be a female Iron Man
and you
Black
shut
Panther.
Up. And are you ready to rate Thor?
I got
Ragnarok?
No, there's so much.
Well, speak up, brother. I got no more notes, dude. I got nothing.
Yeah,
speak
what else
it.
Do we have?
Well,
I'm going to put it this way. Assuming Taika Waititi comes back and directs another Marvel movie that is not Thor, what character?
Guardians.
And I'm going to, no. I'm going to open this wide open and say that Disney is getting the rights to all Marvel characters previously held by other studios. Who do you want to see Taika Waititi take on?
He's tailor-made for Fantastic Four. He is. Fantastic Four should have the same tone as this Thor movie, but with a family. So I think that one of the things that works in this is that he's creating a family before getting to the action. So you have Thor as the kind of father. You have Valkyrie as the kind of mother. Then you have Hulk as the kind of kids. And the other guy that... Loki. He said it's played by Taika Waititi and Loki, that's the crazy brother / uncle. Do that.
Brunkle.
Ooh.
Yeah, do that with the Fantastic Four. And I think you're golden at that point. But to bring back your point, I don't want them to go over the trilogy of these characters. I don't want an Iron Man 4. I don't want a Thor 4. I don't want a Captain America 4.
Yeah, again, I think you can bring them in other movies. I think the fact that we haven't done Iron Man 4, but we've seen him in Captain America, we've seen him in Spider-Man, and that works. I think they could play to that model in future.
One of the things also that I think they're making pretty well is that as they're changing the lineup of the Avengers, if you're in comic, every time that you read a Justice League or an Avenger where the big four come back or the big seven in Justice League, it's fun because for 2-3 years you had these B-rate character, and I'm sorry for Doctor Strange, but he is a kind of B-rate character. Ant-Man is kind of a B-rate character. I know Marvel makes them all A-list right now. I get that.
Yeah, they have to.
But I still think that the Captain America is A++.
Yeah, don't say that
plus.
About don't say that about Black Panther, though. Don't say that he's
I would never say that about Black Panther, though.
The thing is that you get burned out on some of these people. It's nice to see these other people play parts because... After a while, the stakes, again, can only be so big. So if you put, you have your couple Avengers movies or four or however many we get with this iteration, then shelve the whole super team up and just do your Thor and your Hulk or your Avengers and Thor or Avengers and Hulk or weave a few of these characters together, but don't do the massive team ups because you stick them all together, you need a world ending threat again and again and again and again.
But that's my point. When we go watch Avenger 28 and the big four comes back recasted, because that's going to happen at some point, people are going to go ape shit the same way they went ape shit when Force Awakens came out. I think that's one of the best thing about Marvel right now. They're not thinking about the short game anymore like they used to, being like, okay, we need to get to Avengers.
Phase 6 already.
They're also owned by Disney, which they love to shelve shit and then bring it back out, which will be those actors. They might sign them for contracts that say, hey, in 5 or 10 years, we're going to, we have option to bring you back for 3 movies, for even just cameos. They might even have that shit buried in their contracts now.
Yeah, the people like Benedict Cumberbatch and who's the guy who plays Black Panther? I'm sorry, we need he's gonna get into
Boseman.
Chadwick Boseman. All these guys probably have like that 10 movie contract, crazy shit. As were when they had to renegotiate with
Tom
Robert
Holland,
Downey Jr., they were crying.
Tom Holland basically old enough, not even old enough to vote, and he's going to be Spider-Man until he can run for president. I mean, really, let's be honest. Yeah, Marvel's playing the long game. Again, I think they're doing the right thing in cultivating new talent, bringing new talent on board. Obviously, Ryan Coogler, we're going to see him come back and return to the MCU. I think we'll see Taika Waititi come back. They've handed the keys to the kingdom, it seems, over to the Russo brothers for Infinity War after bringing them up through Captain America. So I think we'll see, this continue to keep rolling.
When they find a good director, and that's one of the things I like at this point, is that they keep them.
When they find a director that can work in their system, not every director can do that.
Yeah, but they're not as stringent as, say, a Star Wars pile.
Well, I think they are. I think they are. I think it's just that they want to very, very clearly execute the tone that they want to execute. And one thing I'll say about the Marvel films is, so far, the films have found a way to differentiate themselves in tone. They all have great colors. They all have good
comedy.
I'm going
to say they're starting to get that. After Civil War, but Winter Soldier, they got that they needed to dabble in different genre.
Right.
And I would say that Ant-Man was an
already. Winter Soldier was already 10 movies ago. So, I mean, it's...
I still think it's the best Marvel movie they've made.
I wouldn't argue too much, but... there we go.
But you're French, so a little bit. All right, anybody got any more notes?
Wing? I think we need to call this and move on.
Agreed.
All right. Wing for Thor Ragnarok. Are you going legendary?
It Ragnaroks.
Legend of its time.
I'm made of rocks, as you can see, but don't let that intimidate you. You don't need to be afraid unless you're made of scissors. Just a little rock, paper, scissors joke for you.
Cult legend.
Dire plans for destiny.
Awesome.
Welcome, Point Break.
Entertaining.
Oh my God, the hammer pulled you off?
Mayable.
I don't hang with the Avengers anymore. It all got too corporate.
Forgettable.
Not enough pamphlets.
Abysmal.
The Devil's Anus.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Or The Dark World.
Yep.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of Norse mythology, and in the place of a dark lord, you would have a queen not dark, but beautiful and terrible as the morn, treacherous as the seas, stronger than the foundations of the earth. All shall love me and despair.
I think Lobster just had a stroke. I'm sorry,
I did.
Everybody.
I know, he wrote very long text tonight.
Galadriel in Thor was pretty great.
Yeah. Well, for that, I'm going to give it a very solid entertaining. That's the Marvel movie that I've been waiting for like 2 years at this point, I'm going to say, because for me personally, I mean, since I didn't really like Doctor Strange, I didn't like Guardian 2, Spider-Man was okay, and that one I didn't even go see in theater because I was like, I didn't really like the last four, fuck this. And then I saw it, and I was like, Shark Taco, you need to see this.
Good.
It's funny as hell. But is it... I'm not going to put it at awesome because, yeah, it's funny visually and all that, but it's nothing like groundbreaking. The groundbreaking is that they finally made a comedy with Thor instead of trying to make it just Shakespearean. I had a great time. I've watched it twice. I'm probably good for the next 10 years. So as much fun as this is as a... And I'm going to push that point. This is an action comedy. That's it. It's not even a fantasy movie, I would say. It's really an action comedy. It's really good. And that genre is really good. It's a very good blockbuster, mass appeal that I think at that point Marvel needed. And right now I hear that they're following up with one of their best. So I'm going to give it a very, very solid entertaining with the most side of all that crap that you wrote about the Lord of the Ring Queen.
Yeah, it's true.
Beef?
I got to one-up you and go. Welcome, Point Break, and give awesome. It an awesome. I've watched this three times now, once in the theaters, twice at home, and it is something that I will revisit probably sooner than the end of this year. It's a great movie to probably even throw on in the background, just the jokes, and I don't know. There's a lot of good dialogue, and it's shit you don't expect Thor doing and talking about, and Taika Waititi, and just the way he, his deadpan, and the way he says shit. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. I hope this is the future of the MCU, because, yeah, more fun, vibrant, and goofiness. I'm down for that. Doesn't always have to be, oh, but please, stop doing the horde, the bad horde always. Shit.
That's never gonna stop.
I know,
beef.
But just
do you remember the pile of zombie in World War Z?
I know. Well, that's different. Those are zombies.
I think we're getting a new horde in Infinity War.
I know.
Of course
I
we
know,
are.
But yeah. I'm just saying, like, after it's all of the team ups and it's just one or two single movies, just give us one or two bad guys that they can fight.
Give us Secret War or something like that, where it's as dangerous, but it's three guys, you know?
Yes. Point Break.
Okay. I'm going to follow beef and say this is also awesome, and welcome Point Break. Doth Mother know you weareth her drapes? There's so much awesomeness in this movie. And again, I had hyped this movie up to myself and to others that this was going to be awesome, and it delivered on all points and then some. Again, I think it's the Winter Soldier of this phase. Although Civil War tore apart the Avengers, I think that what Thor Ragnarok does in terms of opening up the Marvel Universe and setting the cosmic stage for Infinity War is going to be a big deal. There's probably stuff in here that we don't think is going to come back in Infinity War that probably will. I think the Hela thing is a good thing, because if she's the goddess of death, who else is going to be a Tinder match for her than Thanos himself? So
you killed death. You know?
Yeah. So, again, I think that is cool stuff. The humor in this is outlandish and fantastic. I don't know if you can do this with every Marvel character. And again, this would not have worked as the first Thor movie. It's kind of fun to see a character let loose and have fun with it and
completely recreated,
completely reinvent what a Thor movie can be. So I'm excited to see what else Taika Waititi can bring to the Marvel Universe, and I'm excited to see where this takes the MCU in tone and direction. There's another Marvel movie that came out this weekend, believe it or not. And
I was about to say, you call that the Winter Soldier of this phase. I'm going to wait for next week before I call something like that.
We shall see, for sure. So, last word on Thor Ragnarok.
Orgy ship. I want the orgy ship.
Don't touch anything.
Big monster.
I need to get off this planet. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
Right. Okay, we're recording on Monday, and this is something that we kind of discuss outside of the cast, but
hang on. We can't say that, technically.
What? Oh, why?
We're recording on Tuesday?
Yes.
Because we watched the legitimate legal digital release of this
that comes
movie
out tomorrow.
Yes.
Not the one that leaked out like a month earlier.
Yeah.
Okay.
We can talk about it on our podcast. So here on Tuesday, and of course, you know, we're not going to cut any of that out because we're assholes.
I'm going to cut it out.
Oh, no. I would leave
okay.
that in.
Okay, if you're to cut it out, just saying that Justice League came out last week, and I watched the first hour, and I fell asleep. Then I washed my mouth with Thor.
You wash your mouth with Thor.
Okay, the first hour of that movie is bad.
Your mouth was a little Thor.
Hold on.
You wash your mouth with Thor
Ragnarok.
After the hammer pulled him off?
Yeah, something like that. Because, man, the first hour of Justice League, when you're at home on a small TV, is brutal.
Okay.
It is brutal. When you get to the second hour, it's not too bad, but
box office numbers, because the movie that came out this previous weekend was Black Panther.
It's not very good.
And whether or not you agree that it wasn't very good, which Rotten Tomatoes and CinemaScore would disagree with you, Black Panther has... This was a lot of fun for me to watch because I follow the box office. And in particular, I play a game called Fantasy Box Office League, where I Fantasy Movie League, where I track the box office and then kind of do fantasy football. So I try to gamble on which movie is going to break out and be a success in the box office. So I spend a lot of time looking at box office projections. And if you were watching box office projections on, let's say, the Monday before Black Panther came out, they were saying, well, it could do 130 million opening weekend. You know, we think that's a stretch. It is selling pretty well in pre-sales, but okay. And then about midweek, they were saying, well, it could go as high as, I don't know, 175 million.
Yeah, that's where they were. Weekend. Yeah.
And then it started to go higher, and Friday it was higher, and Saturday it was higher.
Thursday
and
night,
Sunday
preview night, they did $25.2 million. I think
real. So yeah. I want to start by saying that the current box office projection says that Black Panther will come in on the 3-day at $201 million and $235 million on the 4-day President's Day weekend. Okay, that's a thing we do here in the States.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'm not a big fan of the 4 days because you don't have an example during the week, the year. But $201 million, we're talking Avengers number.
Yeah.
Not a single character.
Close.
When Thor made 135, they were happy like pig in shit. This is unheard of. I don't know how much you put on your fantasy box office. I'm in a fantasy box office, too. We have to lock in our number a month in advance. And okay, I thought that was crazy with 125.
Yeah. All right. So I want to break down some numbers. Again, I feel like I've talked a lot, but I want to run through these numbers, and then we'll talk about it. So estimated global box office for Black Panther through Monday, $404 million worldwide. Okay. So
it hasn't even opened in some places yet.
It hasn't even opened. I'll get to that.
Yeah.
So first off, just based on domestic numbers, this is the biggest solo superhero launch of all time. This is the biggest non-sequel opening weekend. This is the biggest pre-summer opening weekend. This is the biggest long holiday weekend. The fifth largest opening of all time, estimated to be the second largest Sunday of all time. And after 4 days in release, Black Panther is already the 25th highest grossing comic book adaptation of all time, the 12th highest grossing film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and 17th highest Marvel film of all time. This
after 4 days.
No, we're still under 3 days.
just the 3 days. This crushes the $132 million February opening set by Deadpool in 2016. This is the second best opening weekend of any MCU film behind 2012's The Avengers. AMC, the theater chain, reports that the Black Panther set single title records at least 80 locations. Black Panther is the best ever IMAX performance for a Marvel film on an opening weekend. And don't forget that Black Panther has already brought in $169 million overseas, and the film has not opened yet in Russia, Japan, or China.
You talk about Russia. I just want to say that The Guardian came out in DVD last week. I'm just saying.
I got to see that. Marvel has crowned a new king.
And listen, I don't want to blow this out of proportion. Obviously, it's historic. Obviously, it's a big record. This movie is not done. It's 97% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. That's Marvel's best Rotten Tomatoes score. And it has an A+ cinema score, which is the only Marvel MCU film to make that grade after 2012's The Avengers. So one thing that we know about these ratings is this gives movies legs. And these movies tend to have long tails. Look at Jumanji. Jumanji just passed Spider-Man 2 to become Sony's second highest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
If Black Panther holds anything like that trend,
Okay, wait. Before we go, because we're both in box office sci-fi fantasy crap.
How much better than Star Wars is it going to do?
Forget the Star Wars thing. At this point, with everything that he just list, I'm estimating that this is going to make $1.45 billion.
It'll clear the Avengers.
It will clear the Avengers.
I will say this, and this is a balls-off-the-wall prediction, because I don't really know what's coming out between then and now. I think that when Infinity War comes out in May, Black Panther is still in the top 10.
That is a bold statement. We're talking theatrical run. Which number today, with everything you just listed, would you give it as a theatrical run internationally? Like I said, my line at 1.45 billion.
Yeah, I think 1.3. Overseas. I don't know if it's going to play as big in Russia, Japan, and China, to be honest. I don't know if that's going to make a huge dent. But I don't know. I honestly do not know.
I think repeat business is going to be nuts on that.
They've already seen repeat business. I have not, unfortunately, was not able to go see it this weekend due to some work obligations in our family. So we decided to hold off. We are going next Friday, so we will be part of weekend two for Black Panther.
Wanted to go yesterday.
Yeah.
There was not two tickets, I'm going to take two tickets. We're just not going to be sitting beside each other. No. You can't buy a ticket in Montreal or any of the suburb around here until next Thursday.
I will make another bold prediction. So we're recording right now, spoilers, on Monday night. And I know Beef is going to kill me for mentioning this again because he's a little nervous. Based on timing of certain other factors that we're not in control of. So to get the record for the four-day opening weekend, Black Panther is really, really close. And they have said that the area that they've seen Black Panther overperform is in the 10 p.m. showings. So that last showing of the night, when everybody's out of work, they've gone to dinner, they're with their friends, this is where Black Panther is selling out with walk-in business. So
that's the only time you can get a ticket, I guess.
So I don't think we're going to know. Now, right now, as we're recording this, it's 9:15 on the East Coast. I don't think we're going to know if Black Panther breaks that record because that showing is still selling tickets.
Oh, my God. For the estimated 4 days right now, because we're at the end of the day, so it's basically we have the number, it's 435 million. Holy shit.
And again, I think that number could go higher. I would not be surprised to see 240, maybe even 245 tomorrow morning.
They're beating Jurassic Park by 900,000.
Yeah. Again, I don't know where the ceiling is on this. I think that this is you said it earlier in our private chat, this is a cultural event.
Yeah.
And again,
I know we're not forgetting Blade, people. Relax. No, Blade is a Z-list comic that they were able to bring to a B-list level, which is great. But this is an A-list character.
We did a rundown before the show of other African-American-led comic book franchise movies. So Blade, which spawned three movies. Spawn.
Who put Catwoman in there?
Spawn one movie. Catwoman, Meteor Man, Blank Man.
Steel.
Okay. So there have been other African-American-led movies before.
But this is everything. The art, the sets, the design, the music.
This is the most powerful franchise in comic book films, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I don't think anyone can deny at this moment in time that Marvel owns comic book movies.
Oh, yeah. At this point, yeah.
So most movies.
Yeah.
Disney owns the world.
So I think not knowing where this can go, it is unbelievable. Obviously, I think for the cast, for Ryan Coogler to be a part of this, this is easily going to be the highest grossing film by an African-American director, the highest grossing film with an all African-American cast or a mainly African-American cast. Like, I don't even know where you put this. From everything that I've heard about the film, again, I've really tried to stay away from spoilers. This is groundbreaking stuff. So
at this point, I think Ryan Coogler is becoming one of my favorite director of all time. I haven't seen this one yet, but I really love Fruitvale Station. That was a really great small movie. Creed is one of my favorite movie of all time, I think. I really love this movie. What he did with a franchise that was like, oh, they have two good movies overall in the Rocky series, which is the first one and the sixth one. That was what I was thinking. The rest is fun, don't get me wrong. But the first one and the sixth one were all of this out of this world. Creed just blew the sixth one away.
So here's what I want to say to our listeners, because I think they've been fantastic as we have expounded on the box office implications. We're going to know more next week when we come back, and we're going to talk more about the box office with Black Panther and really what it means. We're also going to talk about the movie itself. So we are all one out of the three of us has seen Black Panther. By the time
I just want to put one thing, we're supposed to. But at this rate, we're going to talk about Thursday. It if I can find a fucking... I'm working until 9 o'clock on Thursday. That doesn't work for me.
Well, then you're buy your tickets for Friday or Saturday.
You're going to do what I saw somebody do online.
It's which Chinese New Year.
They dressed
buy
up.
A ticket.
One guy rode on another guy's shoulders with a trench coat, and they went into Black Panther.
Yeah, I might have to do that.
Yeah.
I might actually have to do that.
Get in the theater, see this movie. We're going to talk about it next week, and we're going to spoil everything. So all bets are off next week, and that is it for box office news.
So in the flop alert, Black Panther. Oh, wait.
Oh, yeah. This movie came out.
Well, the flop alert, I'm happy to say that. I think it's the end of 50 Shades.
I don't think there's any. Obviously, if Jumanji was able to hold 10 million this weekend, which it looks like they'll do on the 4-day, that's insane. That anybody went to see any other movie, they probably just couldn't get tickets to Black Panther.
Yeah, what I'm kind of surprised that there's no more counter programming against that, because what's coming out? I mean, probably nobody wants to be in that path
anymore. Yeah, what's coming out in the next couple weekends?
Whoa. Okay, let's do that. That wasn't on my agenda, but we can talk about that. Release schedule. So, next weekend, Annihilation.
See, that? I think that looks good. I'm excited for that.
Sci-fi. Game Night, which is an action comedy. Then we'll have Death Wish and Red Sparrow with J-Law.
Next weekend? God.
That's the following weekend. Okay. On March 2nd, on March 9th, Gringo, The Hurricane Heist, Strangers Pray at Night, and A Wrinkle in Time.
Oh, that's the odd factor. I don't know if The Wrinkle in Time is going to be one of the biggest box office of all time, or it's going to be one of the biggest flop of all time. Because nobody seems to care here, but it's not a special story in Canada. I don't know about you guys in the U.S. But
we'll see. It's got Oprah, so if anything... Yeah.
Your next president, that's true.
Yeah. The following weekend, March 16th, Tomb Raider.
that's going to get killed by
And then
Black
let's
Panther
see what else. March 23rd, Pacific Rim Uprising.
Okay.
Anybody's
excited about that much?
Not really.
There you go.
And then launching on Easter Wednesday, Ready Player One.
Oh,
that sounds like the first thing that really has a chance to.
Yeah,
I mean, Black Panther might have that, that go to legs easily.
I keep saying it depends on A Wrinkle in Time. It depends on the quality of that movie. If that movie score a 68% of Rotten Tomato, it's dead.
Again, there's not a film that's going to get me in the theaters until, let's say,
Ready Player One.
April 20th, 4/20.
Super.
Yeah. So
I think you got to see Ready Player One in theaters.
Okay, I think so.
You might have to.
I'll wait for the Rotten Tomatoes for that one. But
I'm very excited because I'm a huge Spielberg fan, like mostly of everything. I go see all of his movie in theater, and the fact that we get The Post and Ready Player One in a row this year is like, wow, it's a treat. So good. The Post, by the way, very good. I know it's different than what we've been talking about, but I would encourage anybody to go see it. It's a very good movie.
And I think Black Panther. The other thing is I'm kind of curious. So Black Panther opened in 4,020 theaters. Do we see that number go up next weekend?
Yes.
Do we see it go wider?
I think that number is going up like right now.
Yeah.
They're like, we need more.
Yeah, we can make money.
We need more real estate, more money.
It's like when the Force Awakens came out and more and more theater were giving like, okay, we don't care about this movie anymore. Put another Star Wars in there. Oh, we don't care about this movie anymore. Put another Star Wars in there. I think 15, 17 to Paris just going to be like, we don't give a shit about this. Yeah. Just put another Black Panther in there. Peter Rabbit, he's trying to kill people with a raspberry. Just put another Black Panther in there.
You know? It's good. Legends News. Did we talk about this, the Conan the Barbarian TV series?
At Amazon? No. At Amazon. And who gives a shit, I think.
Yeah, that's a little bit of that.
I want this, and I want this bad, and I want this because I'm a huge Conan the Barbarian fan. And if
could it be good?
I don't care. I just want it.
Okay,
okay.
Jason Momoa was the great.
I'm a big fan of the Spartacus TV show.
Okay.
The Spartacus TV show was trashy, fun television. Agreed. Game of Thrones tried to fill that void, but I think Game of Thrones is too good. It's too highbrow. I need something to fill that void for me, and I think Conan the Barbarian could do it.
My problem with Conan's like I love the comics and all that, but I don't see them put that on the TV show. I want giant freaking gorillas fighting Conan, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Anyway, I'm going to go see Kung Fury 80 times because Fassbender must play Hitler. Come on!
This is a movie that we need to talk about on the show, which is Kung Fury, the original. But it's getting a big, big budget, big cinema treatment. Michael Fassbender, David Hasselhoff, and Arnold Schwarzenegger are all attached to join a Kung Fury feature film.
What did they sub Michael Fassbender to have him sign on to this?
Have you seen what he's done in the last two years?
Done Assassin's Creed, so he figured, why the hell not? Why let that be the low point of his career?
Snowpiercer, Assassin's Creed. He hasn't done really something any good lately, but make him Hitler in this fighting Arnold Schwarzenegger as the American president, and I'm in.
Okay, let's do that.
Yeah, this is the kind of stupid 80s ripoff that I can just...
Have you guys seen Kung Fury, by the way?
Of course. Beef? So good.
A while ago, I think. Okay. It's like 45
minutes. It was on Netflix. Yeah, it was on Netflix for a bit. I watched it. I was also a big fan, not from the same creators, but Danger 5, kind of in the same vein. I was a big fan of that.
I'm most excited on that list, though, is what they call right now 143. And when Kitty I saw Pride, that, have you read that 143 issue of X-Men?
What is it? Tell us.
It's basically Kitty Pryde is kind of pretty new in the X-Men, and she's Jewish, and it's Christmas, so everybody leaves, and they leave their 13 years old alone in the X-Mansion, and while they're all away, she has to fight a demon by herself, and it's like a rite of passage. It's one of the best story of X-Men.
Yeah.
So when they just said that the working title was 143, I think my head exploded.
Yeah, I think that's good. That could be good. So Kitty Pryde, spinoff X-Men movie from Brian Michael Bendis and Deadpool director Tim Miller. All right. Greatest American Hero getting a reboot on ABC. New Girl Cece, Hannah Simone, will play the lead. Obviously, they're gender flipping that one, and I'm okay with it.
I have no idea what the original is. So,
believe it or not, I'm walking on air.
Idiot on a... Okay.
Yeah, sure.
That comes from there? Have.
Yep.
Oh, okay. But what's the show? I accept the song.
Greatest American Hero. An average school teacher becomes a superhero.
Oh, I guess that's the right time to reboot that. Okay.
Don't have a lot in trailer dump. Incredibles 2 got an Olympics sneak peek.
Is that the Mr. Mom one?
Yeah. So you can watch that, and it's there. And Incredibles 2 is a movie that I will go see.
I need to succeed so she can succeed so we can succeed. I haven't slept in 3 days.
2
so
will come out on June 15th.
I can't wait. I've been waiting for that for 10 years.
Of this very year,
no
my
way.
Friend.
Until I can buy tickets, I'm not believing you.
It will come out the same... Well, the week before Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom.
Which is
going to
do
not well. 2 weeks
before
Sicario 2, Soldado. And 3 weeks before Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay, well, I'm going to have... You remember years ago when we were like, 2015, we're not going to have any money anymore?
Like cars.
I think like April, May, and June of this year are basically just going to take all of my money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's it.
I think March has got some crap I got to see too.
We're going to be in theater every week at some point. It's nuts because, I'm sorry, but we have to talk about Incredible 2. I've been waiting for this for too long.
Oh,
and
I think
Lobster's on
Incredibles 1.
I'll see that too for sure.
Yeah, we need to do a retrospective of these two. Yes, I agreed.
Okay.
All right.
So,
that's a long cast. Let's get out of here.
An hour and a half of casting, and some of it will go on the cutting room
floor.
Not
too much. I'll leave the last one in.
Legal issues.
Next time, Legends Podcast, Black Panther.
Wow. I would like to thank my local video store for the preview copy of Thor.
Yes.
This has been episode 361 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, Thor, Ragnarok, fucking awesome. Definitely go check out Black Panther. Right, meow.
Meow.
See how that feels!
I'm John O'Lobster saying, is that ectoplasm that's coming out of you? Are you laying eggs, or what's going on?
Because it looks like eggs. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.